Amen. Would you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and remain standing out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God in the second chapter of the book of Acts. There's a book that is written by a doctor who came to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus, who came to believe that Jesus saves, and he's writing about what our Lord Jesus did through the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago that has ripples that are going all the way to right here in this time of worship right now at Highview Baptist Church. Acts chapter 2, let's start reading with verse 1 and let's listen to the word of Christ. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear, each of us, in his own language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I can say to you with full confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. But being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Let's pray. Father, night is quaking, we have sung. The darkness is around us, Father, in this age. And Father, some even in this room right now are in darkness. The word of God, even as it is read, is veiled to them. Father, there are others in this room who have darkened aspects of our lives. Father, we ask you this morning to let your word come down with fire. And Father, let there be light. And we know when you say, let there be light, there will be light. Please, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't care who you are, there is something disconcerting about being in a large city where you don't know anybody. But there's something even worse about being in a large foreign city where you don't know anybody and you don't know the language. There may be some of you in this room who have found yourself in that situation. You've gone exploring somewhere in the world on a mission trip or on business or traveling around somewhere. But even those of us who have never even been in a foreign country can imagine how terrifying it would be to be walking through city streets that you don't know, that are jam-packed with people that you can't understand and you don't know what they're talking about and you can't read the street signs. And how especially scary it would be if you found yourself in the middle of a big mass of people whose language you didn't know, and suddenly they start hollering. Suddenly they're screaming. Suddenly you wonder if you're in the middle of a riot and you wonder if you're going to make it out alive. That would have been the experience of the people who had come to Jerusalem from all over the world, therefore, this feast of Pentecost. It was a feast celebrating the harvest, a time of recognizing that God has given us what we have, and a time of giving back to God and giving thanks to God for the fact that he provides for us. And that many of them had come there into that holy city from all different places and all different backgrounds. And what they didn't know is that there were a group gathered there in the city up in a room, because they had been told by their teacher, a teacher that they had seen as a corpse, and now they had seen alive, who had said to them, go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he says, you will have power. These people walking around in the marketplace, they wouldn't have understood that. They wouldn't have known that. They would have simply been gathered there to pray when suddenly something happened in an upstairs apartment that changed the universe. Notice what the scripture says. It says that as Jesus' followers were seeking him and praying, and they'd been praying for a long time, and it seems as though nothing is happening, when suddenly, Luke tells us, there was a sound in the room. Says it was like a roaring wind. You know, you think about those people who are always on television after a tornado, and they'll say it sounds like a train coming through. Well, that's what it sounded like. Like a roaring of wind coming into that room. Says that there was a manifestation of fire, as though they were tongues of fire over their heads. And then something happened where the people in the room stood up to speak. I want you to think about this morning. The Holy Spirit speaks to you personally. Look at what happens. It says that when the Spirit comes down upon them, the text says they were filled with the Spirit. The idea of being carried away, of being almost possessed by the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit invades, when the Spirit touches down, they are compelled to speak. They are compelled to announce. But they are announcing, they are speaking in a very unusual way, because everybody that is there is hearing the language in his own language. Now you think about this for a minute. This is Jerusalem. This is the religious capital of the world. This is the capital of a group of people who know themselves to be God's chosen people. They are the light to the nations. They don't have bilingual education. There's nobody up there doing interpretation of what's being said. Instead, the people, no matter where they are coming from, including some places that would be considered backward, some places that would be considered best forgotten, some places that most of the people in that city would have considered to be populated with animals, they hear this message in their own language. Have you ever had that kind of an experience? When I was overseas for the first time in Russia, walking around, trying to read signs and listening to people talking in Russian, you know, for weeks at a time, and I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't know if they were talking about me. Most of the time I think they were, in a kind of a negative way. Didn't know what was going on around me. And suddenly, walking through a crowded airport with all the murmur of sounds around me, I managed to hear the words, "Hey, y'all," and stopped all the way across the airport. I said, "Wait a minute." I just heard, "Hey, y'all," and looked around to see where this was. And I heard, "Yeah, we're going to be home in a couple of days. We're fixing to get on the plane right now." I said, this is fantastic. Ran over, it's a group of Texans. People that I might not have ever even noticed if we were in an airport in Dallas, but when we're in an airport in Moscow, let's just sit down and have supper together. It's just such a joy to hear somebody that you can talk to, that you can communicate with. These Arabians and Mesopotamians and all kinds of other people, they are hearing this message in their own language. Why? Because Jesus loves them. Jesus is delivering the Word of God to them, and He is giving them the Word in a language that they can hear. Why? Because the last days are here. Peter stands up to speak, because everybody starts saying, "What's going on here?" They say, "Oh, they're drunk. It's a bunch of drunks." They're half expecting these people to just say, "It's 5 o'clock somewhere, you know." Peter doesn't do that. Peter stands up and says, "First of all, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk. But secondly, I want you to know that what's happening here is something that God has been planning for thousands of years. And God has promised that in the last days, you're not going to see the Holy Spirit working a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there. I will pour out my Spirit, God says, on all flesh, and all of the people will prophesy. Who's that? Old men, young men, old women, young women, all the people of God will prophesy, they will speak. God speaks to you through the Spirit, through the Word of God. You know, God is doing that for you right now. Sometimes we want to say, oh, if God would just speak to me. Oh, I just really need a word from God. And we think that what that will look like is that we'll be sitting at home listening to Christian music on the radio, and suddenly we'll just have a feeling that God is speaking to us. But that's not the way that God typically works. How does He work? He gives you a word. He calls out people to give that word to you, to encourage you, to rebuke you, to build you up. That is what's happening right now. God decided that you would be here today. God has delivered a word for you today. And God, when the Spirit comes upon us, points everybody toward announcing, points everybody toward speaking. All of us are called to prophesy. All of us. Old, young, male, female. If you believe that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but you are not announcing the gospel of Jesus Christ in your workplace and in your neighborhood and in your living room, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompts you to speak. All of these people are speaking. Peter, who just a few weeks before was willing to cuss at the name of Jesus, is able to stand up and to explain what is taking place because the Holy Spirit is upon him. Everything now is new. He is speaking. But notice what the Holy Spirit speaks about. The Scripture tells us here that the Holy Spirit points us to the gospel. Look what Peter does. Peter stands up and says to these people, now we're not drunk. Nobody here has been drinking. Nobody here is falling over with liquor. Instead, God is doing something through the Holy Spirit. And what is He doing? Peter says, Jesus, a man that God marked out and you crucified. Them's fighting words. Peter stands up and says, God chose and marked out Jesus. He demonstrated it with many works and with signs and with wonders. He says, and according to the plan that God had set beforehand, according to the knowledge that God had set beforehand, he says, you didn't do anything to derail God's plan. You fell into it, but with wicked hands you crucified the Messiah. Now, you talk about starting a riot. But notice for a minute that the people that Peter is talking to, most of them, if not all of them, would have been people who were nowhere near the cross of Jesus when he was crucified. These were not probably the soldiers who drove the spikes into Jesus' hands. But he says, all of you in this city, by allowing this to take place through lawless hands, all of you in this city, through your sin and rebellion, you crucified the Lord of glory. Do you know that he is including in that me? He is including in that you. You, he says, the entire human race, you, this city here, this group of religious people, you crucified Jesus. Now, to the people hearing that, that would have been a way of completely discrediting Jesus. It would be like if I stood up and said, oh, guess what? Next week we've got a special guest preacher in the pulpit here. Jimmy Swaggart is going to be in town. He's going to be preaching here at Highview Baptist Church. Most people in the room would be outraged, and rightly so, because you would say, Jimmy Swaggart has already brought shame and disgrace upon himself and upon his ministry. We remember all the headlines, and you would be right to conclude that. But most of the people hearing this message of the gospel would have thought the same thing about Jesus, except not accurately. Because they would have said, this is somebody who was indicted. It's somebody who was convicted. And it is somebody who died in the most shameful, cursed way you can possibly imagine, naked and drowning in his own blood. Peter says, that's right. And it was according to the plan of God. And this Jesus that you crucified, God has raised him from the dead. His great, 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 great grandfather, David, said, you will not abandon me to the grave. He says, but guess what? You and I can go dig David up right now. His bones are in the bottom of a hole in the ground. So David obviously wasn't talking about himself. He is talking about his son, a one that God is never going to leave in the ground because he is not a sinner. He says, this Jesus that you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. He says, that naked corpse, matted down in blood, that they pulled off that spike over there in the edge of the city, God has made him emperor of the entire universe. And God has shown you that that is the case because of this spirit that you are seeing and hearing around you right now. So if you are fighting against the spirit, you are fighting against Jesus. And if you are fighting against Jesus, you are fighting against God. And if you are fighting against God, you are in trouble. God has made him both Lord and Christ. He speaks and points us to the gospel. Sometimes we really want to be filled with the Spirit. And sometimes we think that being filled with the Spirit means going on a retreat every year and having some type of experience with the Spirit. Sometimes we think being filled with the Spirit means having this sense of calm all the time. Or that being filled with the Spirit means being able to give this perfectly good response to everybody in their times of problem. Or that being filled with the Spirit means that you just wake up in the morning and scream out, good morning, Lord. And I heard a lady say that one time. That's how I know that I'm filled with the Spirit, because I wake up in the morning with a smile on my face saying, good morning, Lord. Well, if that's you, great. In my house, I wake up saying, who is making that racket? For a few minutes. And it isn't, in one way or the other, the presence of the Spirit. What the Spirit does is not to make you into some type of hyper-spiritual person. The Spirit points you to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believers, if you are being filled with the Spirit, the way you will know it is if you are becoming constantly aware of your own sin, and if you are constantly being drawn to the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified for you and he was raised on the third day for you, if you are turning your attention away from yourself and turning it toward the gospel so that you have a deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper sense of gratitude, I deserve to be in hell. But Jesus Christ died for me. He was raised for me, and I have freedom in that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. There are some of you in this room who are perfectly calm. There are some of you in this room who are perfectly confident, and yet you have never been born again by the Spirit of God. You have never been brought into the family of God by the Holy Spirit because you have never come to the point in your life when you have said, I give up and I will follow after Christ. Peter says, if that's you, you need to know that there is a man who used to be a dead body that God has made Lord over the entire universe, and you will come face to face with him one day, and God has given to him all authority over everything, including you. You will give up now and bow the knee and be saved, or you will give up then and bow the knee when it's too late. He's made him both Lord and Christ. He speaks of the gospel. But notice finally that this Holy Spirit calls us to decision. Notice what he does. It says that when Peter is speaking and teaching them about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the people in the room, that the people there in the marketplace are cut to the heart. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit crucifies us and drives us to Christ in repentance. That's not just one time at the beginning of the Christian life. The Spirit does that repeatedly. There are some of you in this room who are high school students or college students, and you believe that the Christian life is simply being a more moral Paris Hilton. Having everything you want, but without completely wrecking your life in immorality. If that's you, the Spirit calls you to repentance. There are some of you in this room who believe yourself to be living out a Christian life when you are in captivity to something in your life that is destroying you. Envy of somebody else. Pornography on your computer. A beginning of an adulterous affair, a quest after normal American life. What the Spirit does when he starts to speak is that the people start to get cut to the heart, and they start to say, oh no. Think about how abused the words, oh my God, are in American culture. You can walk right out here to the mall across the street, and you can hear people all over the place saying, oh my God, your hair looks great. Oh my God, I can't believe it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Or they'll text message one another, OMG, it's time for me to go to the dentist. The Scripture is saying to us, when we understand what it means to say, oh my God, it is when we are cut to the heart, when we are desperate, and when we are screaming out, calling out to God, God, I give up on doing this on my own. I give up on the direction that I've planned for myself. Will you rescue me? Some of you have never done that, and the Spirit is calling you right now to see that you are marching on a way that makes sense only if Jesus is a skeleton. But if Jesus has eyes that are open and veins that are pulsing with blood, if he is present somewhere in this universe and he will call you to account, then the Spirit says you need to have such a sense of alarm that you are willing to say, oh my God, redeem me, save me, rescue me. And whoever calls out like that, the Scripture says, whoever, no matter what they've done, no matter who they are, no matter what the background, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Notice these people, when the Spirit convicts them, when the Spirit calls them to decision, they don't know what to do. Some of you are like that. You're thinking, I don't know what to do. I've never thought about anything like this. What do I do? Some of you may even be saying, wait a minute, I've been a member of this church for 50 years, and the Spirit is showing me the need for repentance. I don't know what to do. Neither do they. What do we do, they say? And Peter says, repent, give up your old life, and be baptized. Publicly identify yourself. Publicly announce yourself as following after the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive the Holy Spirit that sends you and directs you in the way to go. He says, this is for you. He says, and it is for your children, for those who are far off. He's talking about us. As many as the Lord your God will call. The Spirit speaks to us personally. He speaks to us of the gospel, and he calls us to repentance, to be saved, Peter says, from this crooked generation. That's your generation, my generation, the generations before us, and the generations after us. This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes. As the ushers are coming forward for time of offering, I want to call us to a time of decision. Maybe some of you in this room who are saying, I feel like something is prompting me that things aren't right in my life. I'd like you to ask the Lord to show you what that is. Could be that you don't know Christ. Could be that you're walking in your own way. If that's the case, repent. Give up. And say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm calling out to you. Hear me. I promise you he will. I want to have Jesus as my new king. I want to follow in his direction and not in my own. Repent, believe. But don't just leave here with that mulling around in your mind. I'm going to be down here at the front. There are going to be other ministers up here at the front who are willing to talk with you, to share with you, to pray with you about whatever it is the Lord is doing in your life. Please don't leave. Let the Spirit bring you to the point of crisis, decision. That's how he works. Maybe others of you in the room who are saying, you know what, I know Christ, but I am leading a life that needs to be filled and directed with the Holy Spirit. I need to walk according to the Spirit. There's some area in my life, big or small, that I need to seek the Lord's guidance on, or to seek the Lord's power on. Don't leave here. There are going to be people here who can pray with you and talk with you as soon as this service is over after we sing. Maybe others of you who will say, you know, there's some area of obedience in my life. I need to be baptized, or I need to become a member of this church, or the Lord's calling me to do something specific and I want to talk to somebody about that. There are going to be people up here ready to receive you. Please do not leave until you have come to that point of decision.